I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 10. As Paul comes to the close of his letter to the church in Ephesus, he writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." If you can consider God's and Paul's challenge, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, this is a challenge for each one of us, Lord, to be wise about who our enemy is. Lord, to put on the full armor of God and not to try to do things in our own strength. Lord, as we consider these words here in the book of Ephesians this morning, Lord, may you apply them to each one of our hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're in the midst of another professional football season. And whether you're a diehard fan or of a I-couldn't-care-less attitude, everyone knows that the players do more than just show up on the day of their game. During the days before, the preceding week, they spend a lot of time working on getting their bodies into the best physical condition possible and working on perfecting their game. But that's not all. There's a phrase attributed to a variety of military leaders that says, "The best offense is a good defense." And with that idea in mind, time each week is spent looking at films and discussing the opposing team. Every team is also following the writings of a Chinese general by the name of Sun Tzu, who wrote, "To know your enemy." Each team, from the coach on down, wants to know what to expect, and then they need to devise a plan, a defense, on how to respond so that they can be victorious when the battle is joined. Just like football players, before any army goes to war, there are several things they must do before they engage the enemy so that they have a chance of being victorious. They must know the mission. They must be prepared and trained to fight. And they must know as much as possible about the enemy. The Bible warns that Christian life is a battle. It's a warfare on a grand scale. Because when God begins to bless, Satan begins to attack. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." In 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul wrote, "Fight the good fight of the faith." Our commander has already given us our mission. You all know, but look, just to show it to you, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. "Then Jesus came to them," that is his disciples, "and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's our mission, to go and make more disciples. So far, in Ephesians, Paul has been describing how we carry out this mission. He wrote that Christians, good soldiers, are to walk in humility rather than in pride, in unity rather than in division, in light rather than darkness, in wisdom rather than foolishness, in fullness of spirit rather than in drunkenness, and in mutual submission rather than self-serving independence. In John 16, 33, Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, rising from the tomb, we We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. We've already won. The Spirit of God enables Christians by faith to take on Christ's victory for themselves. The war has already been won. There are some minor battles to be fought here on earth. That's our mission. That's God's plan. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul wrote about these enemies that each Christian faces. Turn back to Ephesians, but chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Begin with the first verse. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." In this verse, Paul warned of three enemies: the world, our sinful nature, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The world refers to the world system that's all around us, that's opposed to God. In particular, it refers to the godless culture and society in which we live, that, as Romans 12:2 says, is pressuring us to conform to the pattern of this world. The sinful nature refers to the old nature mankind inherited from Adam, a nature that's prideful, opposed to God, and could do nothing spiritual to please God. Paul wrote a little bit about this in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians 4, beginning verse 22. Ephesians 4, beginning verse 22. Paul writes, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, the new man, as King James says, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." In today's scripture, the verses we read from Ephesians 6, Paul described this third enemy, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. First, Paul named this ruler of the kingdom of the air, this leader of the enemy forces. He's called the devil. Devil means accuser. Revelation chapter 12 says that the devil accuses God's people day and night before the throne of God. This ruler has many other names. He's called Satan. Satan means adversary. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of God's children. Writing to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, "For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked me." In Matthew chapter 4, he's called the tempter. In John 8:44, he's called a murderer and a liar. In 1 Peter 5:8, he's called a roaring lion who stalks his prey. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's called the god of this age. 2 Corinthians 11 warns that he masquerades as an angel of light. The names of this leader: he's the accuser, the adversary, the tempter, a liar, a roaring lion, the god of this age. And he masquerades as an angel of light. As his names imply, Satan is very versatile, and he has some power. In the beginning, Satan was created as the chief of all angels who led the worship of God. But he rebelled against his creator and tried to seize God's power and glory. And for that reason, he was expelled from heaven. Isaiah, as well as Ezekiel 28, Revelation 12, seem to describe this. Let me just show you the Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Begin at verse 12. Isaiah 14, begin at verse 12. "How ye have fallen from heaven, O morning star, or O Lucifer," as some of us know the name, "son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Since he was created not eternal like God, the devil is limited in his knowledge and his abilities. Unlike God, Satan is not all-knowing, not all-powerful, and not everywhere at one time. Always powerful, but his power is limited. And so to create the greatest amount of havoc and chaos, Satan has an army. The devil has an army of fallen angels or demons that carry out his schemes throughout the world. Paul called them the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world. These are the spiritual forces of evil. This suggests a definite army of demonic creatures that assist Satan in his attacks against God, against believers, and for that matter, the world in general. Paul's purpose here wasn't to give details of a demonic hierarchy, but he wanted Christians to know that there's a well-organized group that is functioning in the world right now, an army of evil led by the devil. In Revelation chapter 12, the Apostle John implies that one-third of the angels fell with Satan when he rebelled. In Daniel 19, Daniel wrote that Satan's angels, demons, struggle against God's angels. They struggle for control of the affairs of the world. The heartaches, the sufferings, the tragedies of life are the work of Satan and his forces in the background. He and his army are the cause of many of the greatest problems that we see in the world today, including the wars between Russia and Ukraine, the war going against Israel. But the important thing to remember is that our battle is not against human beings. It's against these spiritual powers. We are wasting our time fighting people when we ought to be fighting the devil, who seeks to control people and make them oppose the work of God. We don't have to specifically recognize every feature of the devil or the enemy, but we need to be wise and turn to God, who is our powerful and trustworthy source of protection and victory. That's why Paul commanded Christians in our reading this morning in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not in our own strength. David wrote in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. We need to keep our eyes on God. Although compared to God's power, Satan's power may be limited, we must be careful that we'd never underestimate Satan's abilities. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus warned that the devil comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The devil isn't compared to a lion and a dragon for nothing. Not only is Satan strong, stronger than any one of us, he's wise and subtle. My word is sneaky. Paul wrote that we fight against the devil's schemes. Scheming implies being crafty, cunning, deceptive. Like all schemers, Satan's evil schemes are built upon stealth and deception. He knows it's easier for a person to stand against an open force than against stealthful attacks. Things he believes like pagers and walkie-talkies that can suddenly explode when least expected. Or friends who entice one to go along with the crowd. 2 Corinthians 11:14 warns, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. His attitude is like a lion or a wolf in sheep's clothing, stalking his prey, waiting to pounce when least expected. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Timothy 4:1 adds that the devil's schemes include deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. These seducing spirits whisper things like, times are changing. You've got to change with the times. You have to give a little once in a while. Who made you judge and jury? The Bible is an archaic, antique book. You got to get into the 21st century. Where is all that love that you keep talking about? Oh, it's just a little thing. No one will even know. Go ahead and do it. And the list goes on and on and on. In the Garden of Eden, way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, Satan was a sneaky, beguiling snake. And his tactics haven't changed. He still tries to lull Christians asleep so they don't feel threatened. Before one knows it, the trap is sprung. This is why Paul wrote, "Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." Christians are never free from danger. We must never let our guard down. But there's no reason to be afraid, no reason to fear. We can trust in God's power, because then after you've done everything, to stand. We'll be safe and victorious, as the Lord assured Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." If you think about it, evil really looks evil until it's accomplished its goal. Or to put it a different way, evil really looks evil until it's done. It gains entrance, acceptance, by appearing attractive, desirable, perfectly legitimate, but it's a baited and camouflaged trap. As he masquerades as an angel of light, Satan uses our external enemy, the world, our internal enemy, our old nature, to try to defeat us. John will a little bit about this. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, way back by the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Again, 1 John chapter 2, begin in verse 15. John writes, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of a sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." Christians need to be on guard, to put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The word struggle, when used back in the Greek, was really talking about hand-to-hand combat or wrestling. So when Paul wrote, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood," he was reminding Christians that we are involved in a hand-to-hand combat. Christians are not spectators at a game. We are involved. A phrase of our day might be, we are invested. Our struggle, our hand-to-hand struggle, isn't only against Satan himself, but also against the host of his demon subordinates. Since we're fighting against enemies in the spirit world, we need special equipment, spiritual equipment for both offense and defense. God has provided the whole armor for his children, and we need every part. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Do not give the devil a foothold." So Paul commanded Christians to put on the full armor, to take the weapons and to stand firm against Satan. The weapons that we'll talk about next week that are in the next verses in Ephesians 6. We can do all of this by faith, knowing that Christ has already conquered Satan, that the spiritual armor and weapons are available. By faith, we accept them. We put them on. It's a choice that we have to make. Just like Sue talked about going to God and getting rid of our anger and our jealousy, the same thing. And what God gives us will give us the strength, the wisdom, to meet the foe in God's power. The day is evil. The enemy is evil. But if God is for us, who can be against us? Satan's power is limited. His army is made up of fallen angels. And they struggle even against God's angels. Satan's ability, he is wise and subtle, or sneaky if you please. He uses deceiving spirits. Evil really looks evil until it's done. And Christians are involved in a hand-to-hand battle. Swinging back to football just for a minute. The team that exerted the most effort in getting prepared for the opening, for the upcoming game, isn't guaranteed a victory. Knowing everything you need to know and being as ready and prepared as possible isn't enough. To win, they also need to execute their plan. They have to struggle. They have to apply what they've learned. The same is true for Christians. We must apply what we have learned about God, about the enemy, so that we can be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Ephesians, the whole Bible itself is full of great material for study, even for meditation. But there's more to being a Christian than just head knowledge. There must be an involvement, hand-to-hand combat. We are in a battle against the devil and his evil forces, against the world, even our sinful nature. Christianity is not for the weak or for the lazy. Passive Christians cannot do the will of God. A battle's going on. There's no neutral turf. We either live for God or fight against Him. In Mark 9:40, Jesus said, "For whoever is not against us is for us." Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other." The choice you make either reflects God's character or the character of Satan and sin. But the most willing, the most eager soldier of Christ is helpless without God. This is the point of Paul's command, these verses, to be strong in the Lord, to put on the full armor of God. We have His provisions in being His children, in having His word, in having the Holy Spirit inside of us, and having every resource of our Heavenly Father. God is our strength, but His strength becomes our strength only through our obedience to Him. His mighty armor must be put on so that we can stand. And then we can, and then we must execute God's plan. With the armor and the power of God, we'll come out on top. We will be victorious. When Satan or his forces attack, go to God. Ask for His strength, for His help. And then when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Be strong in the Lord. Well, let's talk about warfare and stuff. I felt like maybe I ought to close with something a little more positive. So let me read from Ephesians chapter 8, beginning verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." Let's pray. Lord, I think we all recognize that as Christians, we are in a battle. Lord, help us also to recognize that without You, without Your power, without Your strength, without Your armor, Lord, that we can do nothing. Lord, help us to be strong in You and Your mighty power. May those around us know that we are Christians by our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.